91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. On the first half of today's program, we begin with a discussion of last month's state-approved hunt of the Florida black bear. Will another hunt ensue next year? Good afternoon. It's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission approved the hunt, which lasted 2 days. 298 bears were listed as killed in the state. There were rules which governed the hunting, limited to one per hunter. Accordingly, animal welfare proponents are irate. We'll hear from two animal welfare advocates as well as two Florida hunters. And more on the second half of the program, literary contributor Ariel Gonzalez speaks with author Robert Antoni, whose most recent work is As Flies to Wattless Boys. Both items next on Topical Currents after the news.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We begin today's program with an examination of last month's Florida black bear hunt and the possibilities of renewing it next fall. The hunt ended after 2 days with 298 bears killed. It was regulated by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
The estimate for black bear numbers in Florida range from 3,000 to 3,500. With us in the studio is the Executive Director of South Florida Wildland Association, Matthew Schwartz. Welcome back, Matthew.
Thank you, Bonnie. Good to be here.
Also here is Newton Cook, who serves on the board of the Future of Hunting in Florida, a nonprofit organization based in Tallahassee. Welcome to you, and thanks for coming, Mr. Newton Cook.
Thank you. Glad to be here, sir.
With us by phone is Chuck O'Neill. He represents the Speak Up Wakaiva Volunteer Organization based in the St. Mary area of Seminole County. Welcome to you, Mr. O'Neill.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And also by phone is a black bear technical assistant in hunting and hunting guide. He's Chuck Ekinek, and he describes himself as a volunteer for the FWC. And he's a hunting enthusiast. Chuck Ekinek, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I think I'd like to begin with each of you giving your perspective on the recent hunt. Why was it approved? What did it set out to accomplish? Was it a success or inhumane activity? And we'll begin with you, Chuck O'Neill.
Thank you, Bonnie. To get right to the meat of the matter here, was it a success? No. Obviously, it was a gross failure on the part of the FWC to try to regulate the hunt. There were several rules that were broken. One of the main rules was that mothers with cubs would not be taken. Approximately a quarter of the bears that were taken were lactating females, which is going to impact the next generation of black bears in Florida. So, you know, was it a success? No. If the purpose of the hunt was to reduce the population for further expansion and development of Florida, then that's the only way that you could say that this was a success.
Before we continue on our program, our listeners need to know that we did indeed invite representatives from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission to participate in our program. They declined to appear today on Topical Currents because of the filing of the black bear lawsuit. So we did invite the FWC to have representatives on, but we do have pro-bear hunting representatives.
Okay, so Newton Cook, the same question to you. You're on the board of directors of the Future of Hunting in Florida. Your perspective?
Well, the purpose of the hunt was to reduce the population approximately 20% in the four BMUs where there is an overpopulation.
Would you say, just when we say BMUs, it's Bear
Management Units.
Unit? Okay.
And that was accomplished. The number of 320 was set, and I think it reached right at 200, 300. And The 20% reduction will mean that the bears in those units will have more room. The habitat becomes crowded. The male bears begin to kill the cubs. And this sends the females fleeing. The male bears, the dominant males, will also kill the lesser males. That sends the lesser males fleeing, looking for other habitat, which is natural in nature. It's a very natural thing for these bears to spread out. Unfortunately, today, because of lack of habitat, which all of us are very upset about, the bears end up in trouble. They either get hit by cars, they end up in the suburbs.
So do you think it was a success?
It was a big success, and the success was to beat the target. The hunters, almost to a person, were legal. Out of 3,000 or 4,000 people, there's always a couple who might do something not right, but overall. And I know the FWC considers it a success, and the purpose of the program was to reduce bear numbers in the overcrowded BMUs by 20%, which is a scientific number that's required to stabilize the population so you have a healthy population of bears.
Okay, Matthew Schwartz.
Okay, so my organization has been involved with this issue for quite some time, but strongly going back to 2012, when the Florida black bear was removed from the state's imperiled species program. Up until that point, and for decades before that, the bear could not be hunted because it was an imperiled species. Mm-hmm. It was also protected against certain types of take, which means it could include habitat modification, which impacts the natural life cycle of the animal. We argued strongly against that delisting. We felt that the numbers that they were coming up with, 2,500 to 3,000 bears at that time, were not nearly enough to warrant the delisting. Mm-hmm. But it's also, even one of the reviewers, Stephanie Simak, pointed out to the FWC that Florida doesn't have a black bear population. It has black bear populations, plural. It has maybe 8 different populations living in these very geographically and genetically isolated pockets. One of them is in the Chassahowitzka, is 20. In South Florida, where we live, you've got an estimate of 500 to 800 bears between Lake Okeechobee and Key West, between Fort Myers, Naples, and Miami, Fort Lauderdale. So that entire South Florida region has somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 to 800 bears. When this issue first came up, the biggest question I got is, Florida has bears? Most people don't even know bears live here. Mm-hmm. The people who know bears live here the most are the people who are moving in to the habitat. And we can talk a lot more about that. I think the biggest disagreement we had with the FWC is that they were considering the bear hunt as a tool in the toolkit to control human-bear nuisance interactions. And
you mean because we're encroaching on
their habitat? Because bears and humans are coming together, and there were a few attacks in the last couple of years that got a lot of publicity. So they talked about, well, we're going to do bear-proof garbage cans. We're going to try to encourage that. We're going to put stiff penalties on people who feed bears and encourage them to come into residential neighborhoods. And we're going to do euthanasia for problem bears. And it's going to be one strike and you're out. So if a bear is considered a nuisance, they're going to kill it. But no mention at all of coming into county commission meetings and saying, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't approve this development like the Coventry at Heathrow where the attack took place. Maybe we shouldn't approve that development right next to public lands where bears are inevitably going to come in. They have a nose that's better than a bloodhound. They're going to follow that nose to food. And as long as we have habitat destruction at the rate we have it, we're going to have problems with bears.
So was it a success?
Well, I think that the decision to delist was wrong, that the bears should remain on the imperiled species list. All indications, and I can go into that. I mean, their prediction is that in the next 40, 50 years, we're going to lose another 2.3 million acres of bear habitat. The indications are to me, over the long term, the bear is going to go down, and it should have stayed on the protected species list. Let them do the tools that they want to do and not throw the hunting into it.
Chuck Ekenik, you're a hunting guide. Your views.
Well, let's go back a little bit. There's been some comments made so far that are not completely correct. Mr. O'Neill said that there was mothers with cubs that were shot. There is no evidence to suggest that there were cubs present. The law states, and the rules state for the hunt, that sow bears with cubs present were not allowed to be shot. The mere preponderance that because there was a lactating sow taken, as evidence that there was a cub present is not correct. Sows can continue to lactate long after their cubs have stopped nursing and moved off on their own. This hunt was set up so that the timing of it was critical so that the cubs that born this year, approximately 9 months old and self-viable, they're feeding on their own, they're eating solid foods, they're able to forage on their own, and do not require lactating nursing in order to survive. Secondly, the delisting of the black bears that Mr. Schwartz has been referring to was done so with the not only the approval of the FWC, but under the guidelines of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Mr. Schwartz's group and groups like Defenders of Wildlife and the U.S. Humane Society were trying to get the bear not only listed as a species of special concern or an imperiled species, but to put it on the federal endangered species list. Now, U.S. Fish and Wildlife declined to do that because it did not meet the criteria that these groups were seeking for the federal U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to uphold. Further, there's been no definitive study to date that proves through DNA evidence that our bear is its own subspecies.
Could you repeat that? I just didn't understand what you said.
No definitive study, scientific study, neither anecdotally or any otherwise, that has been done through DNA to prove that the Florida black bear is its own subspecies. In fact, the only thing that we have is that the bear was listed as its own subspecies through the old channels where you make observations and you say that, well, it's its own bear because of where it lives. Presently we're trying to get shared data between our Wildlife Commission and wildlife agencies from other states.
Are you there?
Mr. Reckon,
I am here.
He's on a cell phone, so I guess it might be going in and out a little bit.
I am here. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we're presently trying to get cooperation with other states to be able to determine whether or not the DNA supports that it's its own subspecies. Personally, my training as a wildlife biologist, I do have a degree in wildlife biology, would lead me to believe that this is not actually a subspecies, but rather just more eastern black bears, which are present throughout the entire eastern half of the United States.
But does that make any difference as far as whether they should be hunted or not?
Well, it does. It makes a huge amount of difference because what these folks are contending is that we are targeting an imperiled species that should not have been delisted. It should have never been listed in the first place if this is not its own subspecies. If the bears that we have in Florida are identical to the bears that are in North Carolina or Pennsylvania, then they are not endangered in any way. And that's a huge difference. Unlike, you know, something where we claim that we have an animal that can only be found in Florida, or for instance, a Galapagos Island tortoise can only be found on the Galapagos Islands. That is its own subspecies of tortoise. Okay, but in Florida, if the black bear is not a quote-unquote Florida black bear, but actually an eastern black bear, then there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of bears throughout the United States. And we need to be able to make that determination.
Okay, you're cutting out again. We're going to take a break, and we'll discuss this subject further with Chuck Echenique and Newton Cook, Chuck O'Neill, and Matthew Schwartz, talking about the black bear hunt and land issues, and we'll be right back.
And we return. It's today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman with you on this Veterans Day. If you're a veteran, we certainly want to give our thanks to you on this day. We're visiting with the Executive Director of South Florida Wildlands Association, Matthew Schwartz. Of course, we're talking about the recent bear hunt and also the future of bear hunts in Florida. Also with us is Newton Cook. He's on the board of the Future of Hunting in Florida, a nonprofit organization based in Tallahassee.
And by phone, we have Chuck O'Neill. He's Speak Up Wakaiva of the Speak Up Wakaiva organization, filers of the Stop Bear Hunt lawsuit. And Chuck Echenik, he is a volunteer Fish and Wildlife Commission Black Bear Technical Assistant and Hunting Guide. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, if you have an opinion about this or a comment, our number 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN, or you can email radio@WLRN.org.
Matthew Schwartz, you wanted to talk about the subspecies business.
Well, I think what Chuck is talking about, as I was listening to him, it sounded awfully similar to the arguments being made about the Florida panther, that the Florida panther is also not a sub, is not, should not have full subspecies status.
So then that would bring in the key deer, or
it would bring in everything. And those determinations have already been made. The Fish and Wildlife Service and the Fish and Wildlife Commission considers both the Florida black bear and the Florida panther subspecies. The panther is a subspecies of the puma in North America, and the Florida black bear is an official subspecies of the Florida black bear. So it has official status right now. What Chuck is talking about, he would have to actually petition the agencies to change that status. And there are organizations that come to Florida that are constantly trying to remove our species off the endangered species list. It was done recently with the wood stork. Wood stork is doing terrible in South Florida, where it used to nest, due to the loss of wetlands. But it's doing better in North Carolina, South Carolina. So they said, okay, we could take it off our endangered species list. There's a big push to do that with the manatee, take it off the federal endangered species list. And a lot of these projects to delist are being driven by development, because listed animals have protection, and it protects not just the animal against hunting, but also the habitat. And so if Chuck is thinking we're just using this as some kind of excuse because we don't like hunting, my organization is laser focused on habitat. 20 million people in Florida. The FWC, the very doctor, Dr. Thomas Eason, who wrote the rules for the bear hunt, mm-hmm. also wrote the Wildlife 2060 report, which I would suggest to all our listeners in Radio Land to go and look up, Wildlife 2060, and see the FWC's own prediction of a loss of 7 million acres of habitat between now and 2060, 2.3 million acres of bear habitat, 2 million acres surrounding the public lands. And they predict that our public lands are going to be little isolated islands surrounded by a sea of urban sprawl. That's almost their language. So these animals are endangered.
Endangered.
Whatever, you know, Chuck is saying, these animals are in trouble. All of our wildlife in Florida are in trouble, especially those that need unique situations, and especially those that need large home ranges, like a Florida black bear with an average range of 25,000 acres for one bear. So we've got a problem.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
I just want to say that fortunately enough, we have science today that determines the species, and the DNA is going to tell the tale. The last study on DNA on the panther, for example, showed that there is no Florida panther. It's just a North American panther. That does not mean that it should not be considered endangered, because it is an isolated species. And I don't think anyone wants to see any further loss of habitat in Florida. I mean, it's a major, major problem we have in Florida. And Mr. Schwartz and I agree on that and have fought together side by side at many a meeting to try to stop development. The recent moving of the urban line in Miami, for example, further west, we just have to stop and slow down this development. But the fact about the bear hunting is there are 33 other states that have bear hunting, and some of them have as few as 600 bears. Bear hunting is the way to control the population. It is the natural way. Bear and man evolved tens of thousands of years together in the wilderness, and the only major primary predator for bears over all the evolution from the Ice Age to today has been man. Mm-hmm. Now today, in modern times, we have to have science to determine the amount of take, how much take is equivalent to what was.
Of course, the high-powered rifles are a rather recent development in that confrontation.
Well, that is true, but a dead bear is a dead bear, and that's why you go by numbers. That's why you had the 320 bears. It just didn't say you could go out and kill a bear any way you wanted to, which was okay as long as it was legal. A bow, or a rifle, a shotgun, all that was legal. But it did say When you reach the point where the bears are at their natural level in the habitat, then the human element is withdrawn. And that's exactly what happened with this hunt. The FWC had all the plans there in place, and the hunt went exactly as planned, except it was a little faster, 2 days instead of the week. We all thought it would go 3 or 4 days. But what we didn't realize was is that a lot of people have been harassed by these bears a long time, particularly rural people. And they've been watching these bears. And these bears come up into their backyards, their back porches. I've got my neighbor up where we have our place up in Putnam County. He's been watching a bear for 5 years. It's torn down his screen on the back of his house. And he was out there looking for that bear. Now, fortunately for the bear, it didn't show that particular day. But you multiply that across the state, and you see why that there were so many bears initially on the first day or two taken. It will not be as easy next time.
I think I have a question. You're on the board of the Future of Hunting in Florida. So I looked them up, and some of the things I read on the site just kind of I found mystifying, and I think many people might, you know, that don't understand why people hunt. So one of the things was, it almost sounds contradictory that the Future of Hunting in Florida promotes and strengthens ethics and conservation. How does it do that?
You ever heard of Teddy Roosevelt?
I've heard of Teddy Roosevelt.
Do you know Teddy Roosevelt was a big hunter?
I do know that.
Do you know why you have national parks and wildlife refuges and natural land in this country?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, and the hunters. Now, he did go and meet John Muir. Wonderful person, Mr. Muir, who did not hunt, although he went to hunt camps. He enjoyed the food. He ate the deer. He ate the bear. He ate the turkey. But he didn't hunt. But Teddy Roosevelt hunt. And back at the turn of the century, 19th to the 20th, this country was a market-hunted country. There were no game laws. Our tradition was, the colonial tradition was, game was your food. And then it became market to be sold to the city. And it was the hunters who put together the organizations to write the rules, put together the first state game organization in New York State. And that was the beginning of the return of the wildlife back to where it is today. There are more deer today than there was in the colonial times. There are more turkey today than there were in colonial times. Almost any of the game animals, there are more today because the hunters make sure there's habitat. We all want more habitat. And the hunters make sure the rules are written so that man's part in the natural elements are equivalent to what they were in the wilderness of the past.
Matthew?
Yeah, well, it's nice that you're invoking Teddy Roosevelt because he was, yes, a hunter, but also the biggest proponent we ever had in our country for public lands.
Right.
And he did create public lands, signed the bill that created the national monuments. The first national wildlife refuge in our country, Pelican Island, established by Teddy Roosevelt during the height of the plume hunting, where birds couldn't be hunted. So we have a situation with a president who was a hunter, but also an avid believer in public lands. And he talked about future generations. What are we leaving for future generations? And even at the time that he was alive, he saw wildlife populations declining through careless use of habitat, timber cutting, development. I want to bring something out because there was a trial in Tallahassee not too long ago, about a month ago, when Chuck Wickiver and others tried to get an injunction on this particular bear hunt. And Dr. Thomas Eason, who wrote the rules of this bear hunt, was interviewed. And it deals with the question of how many bears. How many bears do we have? How many bears can we have? And he used the word creating a stable population. When he was asked to kind of refine that a little bit or explain a stable population, he was talking about a number of bears compatible with the human population. Now, if the human population is growing, then the number of bears that is considered compatible is going to go down. And that's the problem. And I think Teddy Roosevelt, of all people, is turning over in his grave right now to see how we've created we don't have development in just one area of Florida. It's all over. And so bears are constantly being squeezed into smaller and smaller areas. And I think that the focus on hunting is just, it's a sideshow. And my organization is really just trying to focus on the habitat issue. If anything, this hunt has brought attention to the fact that A, we do have bears in Florida, B, their habitat is shrinking. We lose 200 bears a year by roadkill. That's going to increase. We're killing 100 bears a year by euthanasia, nuisance bears. That's already 10% of the population. Now we're going to add another. So we're getting it up to 20% a year, and I think that is not compatible with the IUCN guidelines, nor with the stable population of bears.
IUCN.
IUCN is the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, and those were the guidelines that the Fish and Wildlife Commission used to delist the bear back in 2012. I think they're looking at those rules that Chuck was talking about. I think they made an arbitrary decision to delist the bear, that it didn't really meet the guidelines, that the predictions of future increase of bears is unrealistic. If I had had the resources, I would have challenged that. I didn't challenge it. I feel sorry for that.
We'll continue to discuss the issue. We're going to take a short break on our program and be back with more.
Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We're talking about the recent black bear hunt, among other issues. Speaking with Matthew Schwartz with the South Florida Wildlands Association, Chuck O'Neill, Speak Up Wakaiva, and we're going to get to Chuck in just a moment, Newton Cook, Board of Directors of Future of Hunting in Florida, Inc., and Chuck Echenique is a hunting guide and a black bear technical assistant.
Chuck O'Neill, bring us up current on the disposition of the lawsuit that the Wakaiva Volunteer Organization has filed.
Sure. We filed the suit July 31st of this year after the rule was passed, the rules created for the hunt. When it became obvious that it would not go to trial before this October 24th hunt, we filed an emergency motion for a temporary injunction that was heard on October 1st. At that hearing, we had our experts testify. They had their experts testify. And it is a very, very high bar to clear in getting an injunction of this sort. We had to prove that there was no rational basis for the rule. And the judge ruled, denied our motion, so the hunt proceeded. We appealed that decision to the First District Court of Appeal. We asked for a pass-through straight to the Florida Supreme Court. That was denied. And about a little after 7 p.m., on the night before the hunt was to begin, the First District Court of Appeal denied our appeal. So now we proceed into the discovery phase of this suit. The basis of the suit is that the FWC was created by a constitutional amendment in 1998 to preserve, conserve, and protect Florida's wildlife. Mm. We have seen that through public comment, 75% of the public was opposed to this hunt. So the question remains, is this type of behavior by the FWC consistent with the intent of the voters? In Gray versus Bryant, 1960, the Florida Supreme Court laid out the standard for interpreting constitutional amendments. And they said it must remain true to the intent of the voters and the intent of the framers. But by the public comment and by comments from the framers, we know that it does not. So in order to challenge this rule, you have to challenge the constitutionality of the rule. And from public comment, we see that it isn't. And this is just in keeping with the way this particular current government is operating. We've seen from Amendment 1 that 75% of the Florida voters voted to conserve Florida's natural resources. That money was misappropriated into existing operating expenses for agencies. So what we see with this hunt, with the misallocations of Amendment 1 money, is that there is a group in power, and they are not listening to the people. So we must press forward on this lawsuit, challenging the FWC's rules, challenging them on the basis that they do not comport with the intent of the voters, nor the intent of the framers. So this will go to trial at some point next year.
Let's take a telephone call, and we'll also have some emails. First up, we have Ginny in Redland. Hi.
I have two comments. I thoroughly agree with everything the gentleman who just finished speaking says. Everything he says, I thoroughly agree with. But I wanted to question what some other gentleman said about lactating females and the babies, once they get to be 9 months old, don't need their mothers anymore. They can survive without their mothers. I wanted someone to speak to that and say what their take is on that, if that's actually a fact.
Okay.
Could I interject here on that point?
Yes, please.
It's known that cubs stay with their mothers for 18 months up to 2 years.
That's what I've heard, yes.
It is true that they can be weaned off the mother at an earlier age, at around 5 months plus. That it is possible at 8 to 9 months that they can be weaned. But the mothers often continue nursing the cubs in order to keep the cubs near them to continue to teach them what they need to know. So that a lactating female was killed and there were no cubs present, one has to wonder why would a cub not be present in that case? Are these females lactating for months after the cub has left? No. There are obviously cubs at some point with this lactating female.
Chuck up, Jenny. I think yeah. You'd like to comment on this.
Absolutely, yeah. Mr. O'Neill is partially correct. There was a definitive study that was done in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which showed they did a control with 12 cubs and 12 adult females' mothers. And they also released another dozen cubs that were without a mother. All of them survived at approximately the same rate. The lactating females continued to lactate even though the cubs themselves were not nursing. And this was peer-reviewed. It's been widely accepted by the biological and game management community. And again, just because a female is lactating does not necessarily mean that she is nursing cubs. Most of the cubs stop nursing sometime around 4 or 5 months in that area. And the reason being is they have teeth. They're eating solid foods for the same reason that human mothers stop nursing when their children start developing teeth. It's painful. So these animals are not, they're not helpless. It's true that sows will only have cubs once every other year, and in many cases, those cubs, as they're becoming adults, will stay with the mother up until 18 months to 2 years, because, especially when they're female cubs, because they're learning at the side of their mother.
Right. If conditions are crowded, don't they naturally bear fewer young?
If conditions are crowded, they do bear fewer young. It also has to do with the health of the animal that's having the child. Here in Florida, our average is 1 to 2 cubs per female because of the resources that they have to eat and the nutrition levels that they have. But regardless of whether or not we have cubs being orphaned that can survive or not, the purpose of this hunt was to reduce the population. That population, as Matthew Schwartz was stating about whether or not we have enough habitat to handle them and what the social carrying capacity is, the state of Florida, when it was pristine, prior to anybody building a house on it, the pre-Columbian estimates were 12,000 bears for the entire 51 million acres of Florida. We now have less than 19 million acres of primary and secondary habitat. We only have about 11 million acres of primary habitat, and it's extremely fragmented. Apples to apples, that gives us an estimation range of about 4,400 to 4,500 bears that can be sustained within the state of Florida and have all the necessary room they need. When our counts are done, when FWC's counts are done in the middle of next summer, we're going to see that the population estimate was grossly underestimated in 2002 for two factors. First of all, it was not a DNA sampling, so it was highly questionable as to the veracity and validity of the study, number one. Number two, they did not have the ability to include a lot of private lands within the bear habitat. Unfortunately, that was a big mistake, especially in the eastern panhandle, where a big chunk of the property that holds bear habitat is held in private ownings. And because of that, they were not able to get very accurate numbers. The numbers that we have are very conservative from 2002, and the actual population that we're going to find out is extremely higher.
Okay, Chuck.
Yeah, we're very close to
we're
a break.
We're close to, and Matthew wants to respond
just quickly,
to some of the...
Yeah.
Well, just the main thing I wanted to respond to is that what we're forgetting is that, well, when the bear was delisted, and Chuck, you were there, we were told flat out by the Fish and Wildlife Commission, hunting is not on the table, quote unquote, by many, many of the commissioners there. Hunting is not on the table. We're delisting the bear because there's enough of them right now, so it could deal with the delisting.
But, that's not true.
Well, that's what I heard at the commission meeting in June of 2000. Well, okay, I can't go back and forth with you. Well, we'll let that on the side. I'm sorry, Chuck, we'll leave it on the side for now. But the point I want to make is that if you're doing science and you want to find out the impact of a variable, you don't throw four variables into the mix at the same time. And what the FWC is doing right now is they're saying, we've got a bear problem. And this was prompted by that attack in Lake Mary or Coventry at Heathrow and several others. And they said, we need to do something about human-bear interactions. So we're going to do garbage control. We're going to do the penalties for feeding bears. We're going to do hunting. And we're going to do it all at the same time. And that is not the way to do science. That is not the way to do science. You bring them in one at a time, and you see the... Chuck, could you please let me talk? I didn't interrupt you. Please don't interrupt me. Thank you. So if you're going to do science and find out the impacts of a particular action, you have to bring them in one at a time. You don't throw them in all at the same time. Let's say next year the bear nuisance calls do go down. What are we going to attribute to? Are we going to attribute it to the bear hunt? Right. Are we going to attribute it to the euthanasia? Are we going to attribute it to the garbage control? We're not going to know what had that impact on the nuisance calls. And that's why I think that this was not done scientifically. The science was very badly done. And I think that the FWC made a terrible mistake here.
Matthew Schwartz with Chuck Echenique. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll let you respond. Newton Cook, Chuck O'Neill, Matthew Schwartz, Chuck Echenique. We'll be right back.
And we're back with Topical Currents today, and we're talking about the bear hunt with a panel. We have a lot of calls that we want to get to.
And Chuck, emails.
Chuck Echenique, we promised you, but we're very short on time. Could you respond in a minute or so?
I'll be brief. Essentially, we have 31 states, 32 states that allow bear hunting besides ourselves. We've got years and years of data. We've got years and years of examples where all of these tactics are being used simultaneously. It's part of a larger equation. Hunting is but one portion of it. All of it has to work together in unison. And as far as the FWC stating that bear hunting was not on the table, it was. It was listed in the bear management plan in 2012 when it was finalized, and all these groups approved of it. And it was on the table in 2012 when the bear was delisted, although not for that particular year. The commission did state that they would include bear hunting in the future.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Do you have an email there, Bonnie?
Well, we have... several, but Stephanie writes that one of the panelists, I believe that it was Newton, suggested there are more deer and wild turkey now because hunters are protecting them. In fact, the predators of the deer and wild turkeys are being squeezed out of their habitat and are no longer around, and therefore there are no natural means of controlling the deer and wild turkey populations.
Well, I wish that was true. We have a real I happen to sit on the Florida FWC Deer Management Tackle Advisory Group, and we have an incredible array of predators that are just doing unusual damage, and the coyote particularly has swept across the whole U.S.
Okay.
And we're losing fawns up to 28% of a coyote's diet during the fawning season is fawns, deer. And we're losing an incredible number of young animals to these coyotes and bobcats. And if you're a bird hunter, to feral cats, which are running around loose in the woods, eating billions of animals. I wish that was true. Hunting, actually, the seasons and the limits are sometimes negatively impacted. We have a panther in South Florida, which is pretty well devastated all the deer, and the deer hunting in South Florida in whole sections, it just doesn't exist.
Let's take a telephone call or two, as promised. This is Lee in Miami. Hi there.
Lee. Hi, is this for Lee?
Yes.
Hi, my comment really just is that, once again, I believe the FWC is not doing its job. They're not fulfilling their mandate. And they did, because I was present at the 2012 meetings over the summer, they absolutely did say hunting was not on the table at the time. The delisting was just one step in management. Even early in 2015, Mr. Eason of the FWC in meetings said he had no proof that hunting, there was a correlation between hunting and effectively managing the population. However, admitted that 95% of the calls have been proven nationwide to go down as nuisance bear calls with bear-proof trash cans. But and they also used didn't let the data come in, but used old numbers in making these populations. From the beginning, it feels like a setup. They weren't interested in listening to the public or their own mandate. So I don't think, you know, the public has any choice but to lash out and you know, file lawsuits. And that's okay. The end of my comment.
Thanks for your call, Lee. We'll move along to another caller. Susan, go ahead.
The fact is that there were 3,800 permits to kill bears sold, and it was a bloodbath. Those 2 days was an absolute bloodbath. I'm with Animal Hero Kids, and we're part of the Stop the Florida Bear Hunt Coalition. And I've been speaking at Fish and Game Commission meetings since 1986. And I remember my shock when I first realized that every single commissioner was a hunter. The fact is that once in all those years, they decided not to kill. Their profits and budget come from hunting licenses. It is a clear case of the foxes guarding the hen house. I admire Chuck O'Neill's persistence in stopping. We really need to completely reform our current status where hunters and developers decide what animals were killed. And I have photographs that our Animal Hero Kids Wildlife Coexistence Director took of nursing females, and also a photograph of a cub that was shot in the back of the head and found after by a photographer. We will have no concept at the absolute mayhem that happened and is continuing to happen as a fallout from this irresponsible, unethical, unscientific mass killing of bears in Florida. And the world have seen these images. The United Kingdom, all across the world, they were shocked at all of the images that these monitors at the stations took.
Okay, Susan, we have a lot of callers and we're short on time. I think you've made your point and we certainly appreciate your calling.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to read this emailer from Laura. She's a former FWC employee, Fish and Wildlife Commission employee, was a bear hunt monitor. I have many frustrations with this hunt, perhaps the biggest being the disconnect between how the FWC commissioner structured the hunt and what is written in the FWC Black Bear Management Plan. If you allow an unlimited number of permits to be sold, 3,778, and until midnight before the hunt, you leave no time to appropriately deploy resources or plan to communicate with hunters. So what happened? FWC had more than 550 hunters in the East Panhandle Bear Management Unit, where only 40 bears were allowed. So 112 bears were killed there, which drops that population below the FWC's own minimum bear management unit objective of 570 bears, ditto with the Central Bear Management Unit. The mismanagement and perceived lack of consideration from the FWC commissioners is beyond frustrating.
Well, you know, the FWC in the, this is Matt Schwartz speaking, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
The FWC in laying out this hunt, rolling it out, seemed to be all over the place on the rationale behind it. I mean, it was to control the bear numbers, which are getting too high, to control the nuisance bear population, human-bear interactions, which, as the caller said, no study has shown that has any impact whatsoever on human-bear interactions. Bears are still going to be following the noses into the residential communities. But it seemed like they were also talking about giving folks an opportunity to hunt for those who want that opportunity. Mm. And that seemed to be what dominated the conversation. It seemed that they, well, there's enough bears, we can hunt them, some people want to hunt them, let's give them the opportunity to hunt. One of the problems we have in Florida is that our number one outdoor activity is going to the beach. Our number two activity is looking at wildlife. And that includes looking at bear tracks, looking at bear scats, and sometimes getting a rare opportunity for folks to actually see a bear. 50% of our population, 50% of our tourists state in the DEP's outdoor recreational survey every year, wildlife watching is number one.
Newton, we're very short on time. You wanted to say something very brief, please.
Well, yes, the FWC had a plan and it worked. The plan was to...
Are you responding to the emailer?
Yes, I'm responding to the emailer. The plan was to reduce the bear population by up to 320 bears. They did have numbers on the DMUs, albeit the BMUs are brand new and being worked on, and there will be some adjustments have to be made. We know the Eastern Panhandle had a lot more bears than what was predicted, and that caused the problem in the Eastern Panhandle. We also know in the central area where I happen to hunt, there was a lot more bears than predicted, and to say the FWC did not do it scientifically is just not correct. There's no 100% to anything when you're dealing with wildlife. But I can guarantee you one thing, Florida has a lot of bears, and the FWC is the reason why we have a lot of bears. It's their program.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there.
On that note, we'll have to leave it there. We'd have to continue to get a little more into that. That was Newton Cook. He's on the board of directors of the Future of Hunting in Florida. We also spoke with Chuck Echenik, Fish and Wildlife Commission Black Bear Technical Assistant, volunteer, and a hunting guide. Chuck O'Neill is Speak Up Wakaiva organization from the Speak Up Wakaiva organization. Matthew Schwartz, executive director of the South Florida Wildlands Association. We want to apologize to all the callers and the emailers that we could not get to. We appreciate your participation.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. If you'd like to pass it on, we have free audio archives and downloads at our website. That's WLRN.org. Also, more information at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Today's program was produced by Richard Ive. Technical direction provided by online producer Paul Leary. Tomorrow's program begins with an archive interview with Lynn University professor Robert Watson about his book, America's First Crisis, The War of 1812. Also, Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining highlights the environmentally conscious Urban Oasis Project with its president, Art Friedrich. So, don't miss us tomorrow. For Bonnie Berman, this is Joseph Cooper. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.